Welcome to the Print Pod, Lieutenant General A.S. Calcutt, retired, former commander of the IPKF, wrote an opinion piece, IPKF heroes were ignored for 30 years, they are finally getting their due under the Modi government. I'm Ruben Alex and I bring you the podcast version of this article. The first time Indian military set sail from the Indian shores was the Cholas in 1100 AD, and they went on to conquer Sri Lanka and many parts of Southeast Asia. Nearly 1,000 years later, in 1987, another force under the Indian flag sailed from India to bring peace to a conflict-ridden Sri Lanka. It was termed the Indian Peacekeeping Force. It has been 34 years since the first IPKF soldier landed on Sri Lankan soil on the 30th of July 1987. The very next day after the Indo-Sri Lanka Accord was signed on 29th of July 1987, we lost over 1,200 men in the line of duty, yet it has taken successive Indian governments over three decades to recognize the sacrifice of its soldiers. A nation that does not honor its fallen heroes dishonors itself. Belated as it may be, the Modi government's decision to permit the initiative of numerous stakeholders to commemorate the anniversary of the IPKF operation with a wreath-laying ceremony at the National War Memorial to take place on 29 July has sent a reassuring and welcome message to the soldiers and the families of those who lost their lives while simply carrying out their duty. Sri Lanka's political landscape had changed in the 1980s. It had become a theocratic Buddhist state with a 75% Sinhala population. Meanwhile, the 18% Tamil minority was politically, economically, and socially suppressed. The Indian government, headed by Prime Minister Rajiv Gandhi, was under great political pressure from the 4.8 crore population in Tamil Nadu to intervene. He coerced the Sri Lankan president at the time, Junius Richard Jayawardene, at a metaphoric gunpoint by show of air power projection, Operation Pumalai. This forced him to sign the Indo-Sri Lanka Accord. This meant that the Tamil majority residing on 19,000 square kilometers of land on the northern and eastern provinces would now be merged into one northeastern province. There would also be a change in the legislative structure of the nation to a federal structure from the Westminster model. The impracticable nature of the accord comes from its demographic implications of giving the minority Tamils, constituting 19% of the population, as much as 33% of the total land area of the country, and that too, the most fertile part. It was therefore not difficult to predict that the accord was doomed to fail. Despite being praised as a diplomatic masterclass in India, the IPKF was created to make military force available to Sri Lanka's president during the implementation of the accord. Many ask why we were fighting when it was a peacekeeping role. To ask a soldier why they were fighting in Sri Lanka reminds me of the Battle of the Balaclava during the 1853 Crimean War, when the British general James Thomas Brunel, later made Lord Cardigan, ordered an attack on the Russian forces for the seemingly impossible task of capturing Crimean Heights. He is said to have told his men, "Ours is not to question why, ours is to do and die." He succeeded and was made immortal through Alfred Tennyson's famous poem, Charge of the Light Brigade. In India, decisions are made in New Delhi, the soldiers just obey them. The IPKF took on a more hands-on role for peacekeeping in Sri Lanka, owing to the civil war between military-backed Sinhalese mobs and Liberation Tigers of Tamil Eelam, representing the Tamil community. Its military operations have become necessary to cool down the searing tensions and unrest. Keeping peace at all costs was the motto. Once the situation was better, the force also helped with organizing and executing elections in the newly formed northeastern provinces. The IPKF had been authorized by the government as a tri-service forces command. The contribution from the Air Force and Navy was limited, though both did contribute to the effort. The army strength was gradually built up to 5 divisions size force. The provincial elections were conducted in the first week of December 1988. On the 10th of December 1988, the duly elected Chief Minister of Sri Lanka was sworn in by the President. On the same day, I intimated the government in New Delhi, mission accomplished, awaiting further orders. The reply from New Delhi is another tale that I will leave for another occasion. As mentioned earlier, in carrying out its mission, IPKF lost over 1,200 officers and soldiers. It enabled elections to be held in Sri Lanka and the creation of a merged Tamil-majority northeastern province to fulfill the aspiration of the Tamil population in Sri Lanka. Regrettably, until now, successive governments in India have failed to recognize the sacrifices of its fallen heroes when monuments are built for all and sundry. Today is a day of joy and happiness for the kin of the fallen when the present government has permitted us to commemorate the anniversary of IPKF arriving in Sri Lanka. I and my colleagues who fought under the IPKF are grateful for the gesture.